I get a lot of messages from women in the trades or that are just getting into construction. Like on social media, I get them all the time. And it's heartbreaking to hear what they're going through because I've been there. And it's to the point that some of them are ready to give up. They don't know if they want to do it anymore. Like,
welcome to Building Connections, presented by IPEX. In each episode, we delve into the world of construction, exploring how key leaders in the space shape the infrastructures of tomorrow. Discover the stories behind the solutions that impact municipal, commercial, and residential projects across North America.
Welcome to Building Connections, the podcast where we dive into the stories and ideas that shape our world of infrastructure, innovation, and the trades. I'm your host, Greg Blackett, and today we're excited to have a guest who's making waves in the trades industry, Marianne Bocott, also known as the Lady Plumber. Marianne is a multi-trade professional and entrepreneur, and she also is passionate about community giving and an advocate for the community through our Impact Project. With a strong presence both on job sites and across social media, she's inspiring a new generation to build brands and pursue careers in essential trades. So whether you're a trade professional, you're a business leader, or you're just curious about the people behind the pipes, we think you're going to enjoy this episode. So let's jump in. Marianne, welcome to Building Connections.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about just talking about my program.
Content is fantastic. So I've been a big follower of yours probably for over a year now. I love your content. I think it's great. Gives us really a sort of a transparent view into the daily life of a tradesperson. And you actually cover a lot of trades. You're a plumber, I think a gas fitter. You also are a roofer as well, and you work on lots of roofing construction projects. So I'm really curious about your background. Just walk us through, how did you first get into the trades? And then maybe when did you see this as your path moving forward? Was there a defining moment that said, okay, I'm going to do this full time, and this is what I want to do for the rest of my life?
It is a very long story.
Probably.
But so I was a straight A student, pretty much anyways, and I was destined to become a doctor. I was going to actually be a pediatrician, was my grand master plan. It was either that or an astronaut. I had really high goals, and I'm really good at math. I'm really good at sciences. So it was my plan. I was even told by the school that here we have this program. You can go work at the hospital once a week, volunteer. So you're going to spend every Saturday morning at the hospital as a candy striper. And just so you can get a feel of what it's going to be like working in the hospital system or in the medical field. So I did that for, I think it was a couple of years. But school was hard for me. And, you know, I was small, like I'm still small. I was skinny. I got picked on really bad. I got bullied every day. And it was just dreadful. And my school was just, it was hell going to school every day. So I strictly went there for academics. And then I go home and that was it. I lived on a small farm in Souk. I actually still live in Souk. So hard work was just like a daily thing. I went to school, I did my academics, and then I got my straight A's. I'd come home, I'd do farm work, homework, and then I'd do the same thing over the next day. It got to the point that I just couldn't deal with the bullying anymore. And I started partying a bit, and my grades started slipping. And they put me into an advanced math class for this whole like medical field. And it was like a self-paced. I'm not very good at self-paced academics, apparently. So my grades started slipping, especially since I was started hanging out with the round crowd. And I got a C+ in math. And that was very unlike me. Like I'm a high 90s kind of person. And so the school counselor told me that I wouldn't be able to go into the medical field with that C+. And we had this teacher, the physics teacher, he was a social teacher teaching physics. It was bizarre, but I just had zero interest in that class. So I ended up dropping that class. And then I eventually just dropped out of school because now this dream that I had was unachievable because I've been told that your C plus has now made it so you cannot do this job, which I look back and it's just, man, I could have just redone the course. But anyway, so I dropped out of school halfway through grade 11. And I dropped out with my best friend, who was also really great in school, high academics. And we both moved into an apartment together. Dropping out of school definitely closed a lot of doors for me. And the option to go into the medical field would have taken a lot to get back onto that road. Possible, but it was an option that I wasn't willing to take anymore. So I just got a job. And with that, I also kind of got mixed up with the wrong crowd. I got into some partying. I kind of got slightly distracted, I would say, is statement. And there was some stints of drug abuse. And eventually I did snap out of it. So I was 16 when I moved out. By the time I snapped out of it, I was 18. Just turned 18. So it was a very short period, but a lot happened in 2 years for sure. So when I was 18, I woke up after my 18th birthday and, you know, my face was sunken in. My wrists were the size of toothpicks. It was disgusting. I was unrecognizable to myself in the mirror. I was like, something's got to give here, you know, otherwise it's either going to go up or it's going to go down, and down is probably going to put me in a grave. So I decided at that moment that I was going to clean my life up. And I did. So I quit everything. I quit drinking at the time. Anyways, I still have the odd social drink here and there. But at the time, I completely quit drinking. I quit doing drugs and I moved back to Souk and I disconnected my relationship with everybody that I knew in the city because it was the only way. So even friends of mine, I completely disconnected contact with them because I just wanted no reason to get back into that crowd. So when I decided I was going to go back to school, I tried to take an adult education course, but I wasn't old enough. So they almost didn't let me in. And it's like, okay, I'm either going to do this course or I'm not going to do it at all because I can't go back to high school. I did try 3 different high schools and I was just at such a different level than the high school students by this time that I just couldn't do it. I ended up doing that course and I got my grade 12 equivalency and got a job at a pizza place. And that was pretty much what I did until I went on this date with this guy. And he owned a construction company. And he was driving, not standard tire biter, but he was driving an Escalade, you know, and he had like nice clothes and he was very well put together. And I was like, you're in construction, you know, I'm from like small town Souk where people that do laborious jobs are dirty, disgusting. And so I went on this one date with him, just one. And we were talking and he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, being in construction, that'd be pretty cool, but that's unlikely. That's not going to happen. And his response was, well, why not? So I don't know where that guy is now, but I don't know if he actually knows that he is the one that kind of changed my whole path, because at that point, I never did go on another date with him. I started handing out resumes and I probably handed out like 100 and I didn't get a single call. Granted, this is almost 21 years ago now. I didn't see a single woman on the job sites when I finally did get an offer. But anyways, those resumes, they ended up not materializing to anything. And I knew this guy who was a roofer. And he was one of my friends and his uncle owned a roofing company, a construction company, actually, that did renovations and carpentry, but mostly roofing. I was like, hey, can you ask your uncle if he would give me a job? And he's like, yeah, no problem. Well, he never did. And then so I actually seen his uncle and I was like, hey, did so-and-so ask you for if I could get a job? And he's like, no, he didn't. I was like, oh, man. I was like, would you hire me? And he's like, oh, absolutely. You want to start on Monday? So I started with his company and that's how I ended up getting into roofing. Yeah.
And wow. So he took a chance on you and you had no real experience.
Zero.
And so was it just learning on the job? You were just learning from the people around you. You said you hadn't seen a single woman on a job site. What was that like, being maybe one of the first women to take up the hammer and start the work?
Yeah, I mean, he was a small company and I only worked for him for a short period. I think it was like 2 years, if that, maybe not even, because I was dating his other nephew and it didn't work out. So when things broke off between us, I ended up asking a company if I could work for them, another roofing company, and they put me on as a roofer. And they were a commercial company, though. So that's when I started getting into the bigger job sites. And I went from subdivisions to commercial work. And yeah, there was like, besides the odd painter here and there, there was no women. It is a lot different than it is now. But you just shut your mouth and you put up with it because you're the one off. You're the one that stands out. And you don't want to make waves because you're the only one that looks like you, that, you know, is the same gender as you. You don't want to blacklist yourself. I just kept my mouth shut. And I think that is how I lasted so long. I wouldn't say that's the reason why, but you had to really work for your job back then. Not so much now. It's a very different playing field now. But then it's like you, especially during the recession, like 2008 is when I switched into plumbing, which I'll get into, but it was a different world back then. You really had to fight for your job. And you had to work really hard to make yourself valuable.
That you probably would have given up if it hadn't been for maybe your, I don't know, thicker skin character to say like, you're going to persevere through this. It's different now. But when you were starting off in 20 years ago, the culture and the, I don't know if culture is even the right word, but the way that people acted toward new people and women in particular isn't the same as it is today. And so you have got a story to tell there, and it was hard, right?
Yeah, like it's, I think that portion of getting into construction was very valuable for me. It was crummy, but at the same time, it was very valuable because I did learn how to keep my mouth shut and bite my tongue until I got to the point that I didn't have to anymore. And that gave me a voice that I now use very regularly, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about that voice. So when you say you have a voice, what do you mean by that? And how do you use it?
I get a lot of messages from women in the trades or that are just getting into construction. Like on social media, I get them all the time. And it's heartbreaking to hear what they're going through because I've been there. And it's to the point that some of them are ready to give up. They don't know if they want to do it anymore. Like I just got one yesterday and I had to tell her exactly what I said. Like, this is how it was back then. And I had to keep my mouth shut. So I tell these women and I tell these young ladies that you just have to stand up for yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to show all these emotions and get all angry and upset and sob and see red and rage. You just need to be able to stand up for yourself. It's so important. And that comes for not just women. That goes for everybody in construction because it can be a pretty ruthless world out there. Or there was another young lady who I believe she was a first year plumber or she's just getting into it. And she worked for a horrible company that treated like her like a piece of trash. And I told her, I was like, you don't have to put up with that. You 100% do not have to put up that. Don't think that's the end all be all. You go to another company and you quit the one that you're working for and you go get a job somewhere else. And she did. Yeah. And she is now working for a company that treats her with respect, that allows her to learn rather than just push a broom all day, because that's another thing. People get stuck doing these stupid jobs where they're not actually being trained to do the job that they thought they were going to do.
So is that a lot of the comments that you're receiving? Because you have a very large following now and a big social media presence, and I could see a lot of people coming to you. Is it really around the lack of perceived skill set in new people, and so that they're afraid to let people to take chances or maybe fail on a job site? And so they're relegated to maybe these other tasks like sweeping or doing some more basic things. Are we still dealing with those types of issues within some of these companies?
I can't say for myself, because I'm self-employed and the company that I worked for before, like, I'm very grateful that the companies that I did work for were very much respectful and they were more like brothers to me than anything else. But as for these women, like, by the sounds of their stories, that it's a bit of both, because they don't have experience. It's like, here, you just push this broom all day and you don't get any real tasks. And it does happen, especially if you get good at something, whether it is cleaning or, you know, it's like, oh, you're good at drilling holes. That's all you're going to do. When you work for those bigger companies, especially, you get quick at something. That's all you do. It happened to me for a while. I just threatened to quit like 3 times before I finally got moved on to different jobs.
And do you receive any advice requests from men, or is it predominantly women that are reaching out to you?
I would say when it comes to advice, like what these young ladies were dealing with, it's mostly women. But I do get a lot of questions just about the work itself when it comes to men. I don't think that I've ever been asked the same questions by men than I have been from women. But yeah, but when it comes to the work aspect, like technical questions, I do get asked a lot from men. Because majority of my following is men. It's like 88% or something like that.
Okay. Look, so you took us through your background, which I appreciate. The transparency and the story is a difficult story. And now you've got to the point where you're running your own business. How are you able to do all that? Is it hard to run your own business and then work the job yourself? Or do you have a team of people that are helping you? How did you make that transition to running your own business?
So I worked for pretty much the same company. I worked for 2 separate companies before I started my own, but the last one I worked for a majority of the time. And I actually hurt my back. So I got a back injury, which had been my second at work, once roofing, once plumbing. And I was off work for 3 months. It was pretty horrific back injury. I'm not going to play it down, but sciatica sucks. It was painful, and it was just because I wasn't taking care of myself for the most part. But that was a very large transition for me at that time, because I decided that I was going to quit plumbing. And it was not a very good time to talk to me about women in trades, because I was angry. I was broke because I wasn't working. And I was like, we can't do this job. And I was all nagged out. And thank goodness I didn't have social media that jack. But I applied for a student loan, and I was talking to a friend of mine. We used to go on hikes together a lot. And I decided that I was going to take a student loan to do hair. I can barely put a ponytail in my own hair. I don't know what I was thinking. So I got approved for the student loan, but I never ended up taking it. Because I was looking at wages, and I'm like, how am I supposed to go from journeyman rate to minimum wage? And I've got a mortgage. My husband and I, or my common-law husband, we bought a house when I was 23. It's like, how am I going to pay the bills? I don't want to be supported by him. That is not my jam. That's not my MO. It's not how I was brought up. I'm an independent person with my own bank account. I don't want to have to rely on somebody like that. We had talked about it, and he's like, why don't you just start your own thing? Which I'm sure he regrets saying now. Why don't you just start your own thing and you can pick and choose what jobs you want to do? Because we were doing new construction. Like, it wouldn't be an unusual week to do like 20 groundworks in a week. You're just like digging and digging and digging. And it's like, my back at the time couldn't handle that. So it's like, why don't you just do your own thing? You'll do some small stuff. And that's how it all started. And then coming from a small town, it was very easy to start a company here because everybody knows you. And everybody knew me from when I was a kid. Like a lot of my clients are some of my teachers that I had in high school. And
you had some connections to start off with.
Yeah. So it was very easy to start a business. I've been slammed busy since day one. So I'm very grateful, but it is a lot of work.
A lot of work.
And I did start as just a one woman show. And then I ended up, by the time I like to use COVID as a timeline, by the time COVID hit, I had 9 of us, I think 9, including myself. And it was terror. Oh man, the HR and it was mostly women, and it was a lot of women. We're all on our cycles at the same time, and it was something fierce. And it was a lot to handle, and the quality control, like people get lazy and they like to cut corners, and it's not how I do things. Like still to this day, I never did, even when I worked for a company, there is no corner cutting. You know, and I was taught that way, and that's what stuck. I'm very grateful for the company that I worked for last because he was a very good plumber, very good gas fitter, and I learned how to do things properly and not to cut corners. It doesn't matter if it takes you a little bit longer. But yeah, being a boss for that many people was, I thought it was something that I wanted, and I thought that I wanted 50 vans and a self-run company and just sit in the office and point the finger all day, and I very quickly found out that is not what I want. And it's funny how our views and our dreams change so drastically from every couple few years, because I thought that's what I wanted. And I am now scaling back in this year to just myself again.
And you have this big social media platform now, which is probably a lot different than maybe what you had when you started. You probably didn't have much of a following. Talk to us about that. Like, how did the Lady Plumber come about in terms of the initial content, and how did you get to such a big following today?
So I started my Instagram page, or social media in general, I guess, about 6 or 7 years ago, and I was forced into it. I didn't even know what a hashtag was. I thought that it was silly. And I was at a afternoon tea with some women in business that I met up with quite regularly. And they're like, I don't understand why you don't have an Instagram page. I was like, no, I'm not interested in filming and posting. And it was hard enough for me just to get Facebook. And she's like, well, I think that it's absolutely silly because you could be inspiring a lot of people out there because you're very inspiring. And I was like, okay, fine. Because at this time, the lady that had said this, I had done some public speaking for her and at some of her events. And I was like, fine, I will. So I don't know. I just came up with the Lady Plumber. If I had known better, then I probably would have come up with something a little bit more inclusive to roofing and plumbing, because I seem to do a lot of both. But I just came up with the handle, and then I started the page. And it was very slow to begin with because I treated it more like a Facebook that's a little bit more personal, I find. You know, you're posting personal stuff on there and, oh, I'm going to this lunch with this person and selfie or whatever, picture your food. People don't care about that when you're in construction. They just want to see the construction. And that's it. So as soon as I started pulling all of the personal out and stopped treating it like a Facebook is when it started doing better. And my following grew at that point. And then I got invited to go to the Rigid Experience, which was in 2022, I think, 2022. And that was the door that opened a lot of other doors. And it made the following grow a bit more. I think I only had like 2,500 followers at that time, which I thought was a lot. And it just started growing from there. But then I had a couple of videos go viral. I had a few of them go viral. And that was just within the last year or maybe two. And that's when things really started taking off. I looked back at what my following was in June, and it was like half of what I have now, I think.
Okay.
So it's growing substantially quickly.
And who are your followers? Do you have enough insight if you look at the people that are following you? Are there other trades professionals? Are they DIY or just curious people? Do you have a sense of the type of followers you have?
I think I don't really know how to tell that. I just got asked that the other day, but I don't really know how to. I don't know if there's a way to find out. If there is, somebody let me know. But I'm going to presume that a majority are going to be men in construction of some degree or another. Yeah, that's what I think.
And so the reason, one of the reasons why we like your content is on the manufacturing side, we create products. And for us, one of the things we like to do is create, whether it's training video, marketing material, things that educate tradespeople around the use of our products. And traditionally, it's done within the company and out. You go to an agency, you create these great videos, and they're scripted, they're high quality, they're great videos. But it lacks sort of the authenticity and the realness that your videos bring, which is you're actually installing products on a job site, you're seeing how you're installing it, and the things that come up, the issues that come up along the process. And so the content for me is, it's more engaging and more authentic, and it's the right sort of content that I think people want to consume now. Do you have any thoughts on, does the content you're providing provide, and is it more entertainment or is it educational in terms of enabling people to understand how to do their job better with the products that you're using?
I think it's a bit of a mixed bag because I do like making the entertainment side, but I also very much like the education. I like to talk about tools and different products because I can nerd out on that stuff for hours. You know, clearly I can talk no problem. So let alone talking about things that I'm super interested in, you know, that I think are super cool. And being like a science-based person, like knowing how things work and how they operate and what they're really for or how they're built, the manufacturing process of them, it's all really fascinating to me. So I like being able to showcase that stuff that I like to nerd out on. But I also like to make people laugh, even if it's at my own expense. I like to smile. I like to laugh myself. So I do love being able to entertain people. So I think it's very much a mixed bag. I want to get more into tutorials. I just haven't had the time to. So as the whole social media life has grown, it's allowed me to step back from other areas that have been time consuming that haven't allowed me to do those sorts of things. So I'm hoping that I can really start doing this because I love teaching people how to do these things, especially homeowners even, you know, like you don't need to call a plumber to do this small little job because, and not to take away from jobs from plumbers, but a lot of homeowners can do their own jobs. And if it doesn't work, maybe don't cut into the water line or something. I don't tell people to do that. But, you know, if you drop something down the sink, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to crack or have a leak? Well, then call a plumber at that point because you were going to call one anyways.
Your content is definitely entertaining, and it's at least the reason why I follow you, not necessarily for the technical instructional component, but I love your content from an entertainment perspective. And so do you see the social media as being a vital part of any trade moving forward? If you're getting into the trades today, do you need to have your own social media site in order to become present in the industry or promote yourself, or is it not that important right now?
I wouldn't say here it is. You could be anybody. You could have absolutely zero skills with your hands and get a job in construction here. You put a resume out and you got a job instantly. They just need manpower out there.
Let's talk about that for a minute. What do you think the biggest, I don't know, there's so many, and we all always talk about the shortage of trades, the demographics changing, there's a lot of people retiring. What are some of the issues that are preventing younger people from entering from your perspective? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are there and maybe what advice you give to younger people who are thinking about entering the trades.
I truly believe that people just don't want to work anymore is the problem. It's very hard to find a true worker. It's very difficult. More often than not, you're not going to have that person. And I have a fantastic employee. I only have one right now. And she's great. She is a worker, but she's young. She's, I think she's 25, been with me for about 4 years. And to find one of her age group that's actually a true worker was worth, I think, is very, very, very challenging. And I truly believe, like, I talk to my husband about this all the time because he's a roofer and he's been in the industry for 35 years or something ridiculous like that. And he sees the same thing, especially in roofing. At least plumbing is kind of a glamorous job. It's like electrical or HVAC. You know that you're going to make bank off when you get your ticket. But roofing, like, yes, you can make bank, but it's a hard job. You know, it's not glamorous. It's especially what he does. He does the big stuff. And man, he comes home sometimes and he's unrecognizable with how much dirt is on his face. And just trying to get the younger generation to do that job. I don't know if there's many young people that work for the company that he works for. I think there was like one, and I think they got hurt and then didn't come back. So it's like the average roofer in the industry here is in their 40s, 50s. It's frightening to know what the building economy is going to be like even 10 years from now.
It's almost like it starts with instilling or making sure our children are working hard with chores around the home and just doing those things to build up some of this hard work elements or something like that before they get to the skill part. But you're right. Not a lot of people. And there's other options now. You can go into all kinds of different professions that aren't physically demanding. And so it's a tough sell for a lot of kids nowadays. Do you think that the compensation has changed and is an incentive, or is it not really? Because I think that's also part of it, right? Is how do you make a living in tomorrow? Landscape, housing prices, and inflation the way it's been, is it enough to survive, or can you have a good life financially?
Yeah, I think that if you're in construction, you're making more than a doctor right now, which is definitely, it's for sure what kept me going. I wouldn't say entirely. I, like I said, I had a whole lot of doors closed, and by the time that I actually got into construction and started doing it as a career, I realized that I don't think that I would have wanted to work in the medical field. I know that for a fact now. Like, I had to go for an MRI a couple days ago. Not work-related, roller skating incident. Yeah, and there's these chicks working there. It's 10 p.m. and this is what they do for like their job. They're just sitting there at this computer, and bless them because we need them. But man, I would be miserable if I was... Yeah, so I the pay is very good. It definitely is going to have to increase because, for example, the roofing industry, it's like they keep upping the wages because there's nobody getting into it. You really need that incentive to get the younger generation to do that job. And then that goes for any other trade, but especially those non-glamorous ones. So I think that having the wages higher is definitely helpful, especially if somebody doesn't have that education to back them, like university degrees or whatnot. And even with those, you never really know if it's going to materialize. Not that I know.
You have this physical element too, which is, and skill, which is moving. Every job is different. The number of permutations. It's one job is never the same. And someone that's been in both worlds, I think that from a skill perspective, the trades, you need a higher skill set. It's not just physical. It's an intellectual skill set as well that university doesn't bring. So it's incredible how I think as society, we have missed that and we've overweighted on maybe the commercial jobs, thinking that those were the best places to be. But in actuality, in terms of if you look at the work and the combination of work and intellectual requirement, I would argue the skilled trades are harder and would be in more demand. Let's talk about your impact project before we go. Did you want to talk about, I learned about that following you. I thought that was worthwhile. You're a passionate community advocate. Talk to us a little bit about your impact project.
So I, as the social media has grown and I have been able to monetize it to some degree, it's been really helpful for me to be able to share that with others because I am not a greedy person. I'm not trying to get rich out there. I just like being comfortable. I think money comes with its own set of problems. So I'm not looking for anything like that in life. My house is small, but I have one. It's great. But I have also been in that situation where I didn't have any food in my fridge. I could barely pay rent. I sometimes didn't pay rent. I am shameful to say that I wasn't at sometimes the best tenant, but it was a struggle at times. I even had 3 jobs at one point, but it was a struggle being able to put food on the table and then still survive the day and have a roof over your head and have both at the same time comfortably. That came much later in life. And I've been in that situation and I'm so grateful that I'm not anymore. And I'm very content with where I am in life. But I know that is not the case for a lot of people. And it's heartbreaking to hear people's stories and to see people struggling, and it hurts because I've been there and it sucks. And whether their reasoning is self-inflicted or not, mine certainly was. And it doesn't matter because it still sucks either way. And so I decided it just was an idea that came up and I was like, why can't I just help out some people that need a little bit of a lift here and there? And it's like, if you have to make that choice between food or a repair in your home, then I'm more than happy to give somebody the chance to do some work for them. Obviously, I can't save the world, but if I can help one person at a time, then that is what I want to do. Because I've always been the type of person that wants to help people. I like helping people. It makes me feel good. It makes the other person feel good. The smile on their face that I get, which is something that I see all the time in plumbing, having those emergencies, I get a lot of hugs and a lot of smiles. And it's something that really is heartwarming and I like doing it. So I just decided one day that this was what I wanted to do. And I started brainstorming with a friend of mine and came up with the name, The Impact Project. Wanted something a little power tool-like, but still, but not like mushy-gushy. And that's how it all unfolded. And I decided right before I went on a holiday. So it got put on hold for a few weeks. But as soon as I got back, it was boots to the ground and let's get this going. So I'm hoping that it'll take off. Obviously, I can't fund the whole thing. So I'm hoping to get sponsorship along the way or a social media content creator. I do paid promotions. So I'm now doing in trade of rather than me just, money in my bank account. I am putting that towards the Impact Project because, like I said, I'm not looking to get rich. So whether or not they're sponsors or not, the money that I make from social media is going towards that project.
And you've got to balance your time between your own job and your own customers and your business. But it sounds like a worthwhile project, and maybe that's something we can help you with. No, this has been great. And I really appreciate the transparency and the discussion about your personal journey. And I think the success story is quite amazing too around your social media following. Is there anything else you wanted to chat on your side before we wrap up?
I don't know. I could talk for hours, clearly. No, I think that since I feel like I have some sort of impact on the younger generation, I'm hoping that you can see that being in construction is beneficial. And I was at rock bottom at one point. And if I didn't get into construction, then I would not be where I am today by any means. It doesn't mean that you have to become some social media influencer, because that was not in my cards. That was not in the game plan. I was doing perfectly fine financially, mental health wise. I was totally fine prior to any of this. It's being in construction has helped me buy a house and go on trips and travel and do all these things. And I hope that showing the younger generation, and not like I'm hoping anybody that is looking for a career change even can see that you can open a lot of doors and you can become stable and be happy doing this job or this type of job. And you don't need some university degree. Not that there's anything wrong with that either, but you don't need that in order to be successful.
That's when you offer a window into the day-to-day life of a tradesperson. And I think that's something that's very new and encouraging. So hopefully more and more people will be following you and be inspired by you and your story and join the trades as well. So thanks so much, Mary Ann. We really appreciate you joining. And we'll probably have you on soon again if you'd like to.
I would love that.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Building Connections. You can find links to all of the resources mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. If you're finding value in our podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us connect with more listeners like you. Don't miss out on future episodes. Keep listening and building connections with us.